It's time to go to war in the natural. The world is at war. There are wars on every continent now. Battles being fought, people dying every moment, massacres occurring, souls being swept into eternity so fast. And we, as a body of Christ and the church, are supposed to settle back and take it easy. And just say, well, ho-hum. Hey, sit on. Whatever will be, will be. You see, I'm waiting for the coming of Jesus. Some are saying, I'm waiting for Yeshua. Don't you name the name of Jesus to me. My phone's been ringing off the hook about that one. I don't like that one either. Some of you called me crying. Henry, I was just in a meeting last night. They asked all of those who use the name of Jesus to raise their hand. I raised my hand. Then they said, come up front. I went up front because I used the name of Jesus. Then they demanded that I renounce using the name of Jesus and never use it again and repent of using the name of Jesus. Henry, what do you think I should have done? I said, I hope you went to the door and kicked the side of the door and knocked the dust off your feet and prophesied against them. Yeah. What? Henry, they love the Lord. They don't love my Jesus. Now listen, I hope I'm not rattling your cage if you're messianic. I don't mean to. I love you. And I've spoken in many, many, many messianic groups from clear up in the top of the United States to San Francisco to Florida to Seattle. I don't get invited to too many anymore. Since I went on record and I said, I have a message for you messianic people. If you are genuinely messianic, then get back to the gifts and the calling that you have. Get back to reaching the Orthodox Jews for Jesus and stop proselytizing Christians to make them Jews. You're out of order. Paul fought that battle in Galatians, and I thought they learned it then when he said, you foolish Galatians. When he rebuked Peter to the face and said, how dare you? I've seen your conduct, Peter. You were fully persuaded that we cannot persuade Gentiles to become Jews. And yet, when we gathered together, all of a sudden, when there's Jews and Gentiles mixed, you shun the Gentiles and stay over with the Jews. Peter, you're out of order. Ooh, that's serious. Well, how come that's serious? Because Paul knew the Lord's Prayer. He knew the Lord's Prayer. He had spent time with the Lord. Father, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but I pray that you make them one. Anything that divides and separates the body of Christ is not of God. We must settle that thing once and for all. It's time to lay some things straight. This is called warfare. We've got to take care of first cleaning up the house of God before we can clean up the world. When I get phone calls and people are crying and saying they're demanding that I renounce the name of Jesus because it comes from some Greek name, I say to them on the phone, and I say to the people in the groups where I go, where they say, now you can speak here, Henry, but don't you use the name of Jesus. I look them in the eye and I say, wait a minute. I love Yeshua HaMashiach. I want you people to know that. Because it's the same name as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah. And don't you separate them. Or I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. I'm a warrior, not a worrier. I'm not worried about you. I know your destiny if you continue in the path you're going. You've fallen out of love. And now you've fallen into law. And the letter of the law kills. Because it's the Word of God. You're out of order. Now that sounds harsh, but I want to tell you something. This is not the time to allow factions to come into the body of Christ to divide our unity and our oneness. If you do, you allow that, then you are going against our Lord's Prayer. If you go against the Lord's Prayer, you are in trouble. So I agree with the Messianic movement. You don't need to make Christians Jews. you need to go to the Jews and make them Christian. Now that's the battle that's going on in the body of Christ. And I know it is grieving the heart of Almighty God, because there are people that will not speak to me today because I use the name of Jesus Christ. I go into places and I've had people push my head up till it hurt my neck with their thumb, and they say, "It's not Jesus, it's Yeshua." And I say, "Get your thumb off of my chin, you Pharisee." They say, "How dare you call me a Pharisee?" And I said, "Because you're a Pharisee. You're doing to me what the Pharisees did to my Lord." That's the way I feel. I want to tell you something. There are many factions today coming against warfare. If the enemy can get us fighting from within, we will never fight without. We will never be one. And therefore, we will never put to flight 1,000, 2, 10,000, 300,000, 4 million. You see how it multiplies? The enemy knows that. And he seeks to divide husbands and wives, sons and daughters, moms and dads and children. He seeks to divide the children and the families and the churches continually and repeatedly. This year, in the past year, since October, since November of this year, I was in 5 different nations, across 5 different nations, and every Christian church that I spoke in, every kind of Christian gathering I spoke in, I asked them this one thing: will you make a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you make a covenant with your brother and your sister that you can look across the room and see, with the one sitting beside you, before you, behind you? Will you look at that brother, that sister, and will you say, "I make a covenant with you. I'm going to love you no matter what. Nothing, nothing, nothing is going to destroy my love for you. If you go into deception, I'm going to love you." Now, I know it didn't sound like I had much love for this situation. I hate the lie. I love the sinner, but I hate the lie. This is the age-old demons that have been around so many generations, and they know you better than you think you know yourself. And they are so crafty, and they are so wicked, merciless, and cruel. But they know how to take the Word of God and turn it around just a little bitty bit and cause you to drop your armor, turn around and say, "No more warfare for me. I'm just going to settle back in the church and wait till Jesus comes." I want to tell you something. Out of Jesus' own lips, he said, "When I come, I will make you ruler over all that you have, not all that you profess." Henry, you've gone totally stark raving mad. Yeah, I sure have, according to some. I am stark raving mad at the forces of darkness. I can't stand them. I cannot tolerate them. I want no fellowship with those unfruitful works of darkness, but I want to do what the Scripture says. Have no fellowship with them, but reprove them. I've said it hundreds of times. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Wait a minute. It says the weapons of our warfare. So there are weapons of warfare, but they are not. Some people stop right there. There's a book out right now that says they are not. It says you're throwing hatchets at the moon. Saying, "Brother, how dare you? How dare you, when we are just beginning to get the church to wake up and realize they've got to fight, how dare you call retreat? How dare you say it's time to stop fighting and go back and lay down and let the devil trample you? How dare you write in your book that we are to reverence Satan because he is in high command?" That's the kind of garbage that's in our bookstores out there. Let me tell you something. That book was put in my hand late April of this year. I was fighting for my life with cancer. Doctor said, "Henry, you don't have more than 2 months to live." I had cancer. I was passing cancer in my bowels, in my urine. I was fighting for my life. I was getting weaker by the day. I want you to know tonight what I mean when I say, let's go to war. There's no retreat. I love what Churchill said.
when Hitler was blitzing the cities of England with his missiles. He went on the air, and it looked like England was about to fall. And from that bunker down under London, he made a broadcast all over. And I love the words he gave. He gave an awesome speech. I'd love to have it here to just quote the whole thing to you. But I'll never forget the words that he said. I can still hear them down in that bunker as I listened as I went through that museum now, that's now a museum where there was a command center. I can still hear his words. We will never, 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 never give up. And I'll tell you something. We're either going to make a decision in these last days and hours that we're going to fight and never give up, or we're going to give up. If we give up, we're going to fall back into delusionary living. We're going to fall back into complacency. We're going to settle back on our lees. Our spiritual strength is going to wane from us. And we're going to settle in on these churches that say, today we're going to talk about the joy of the Lord. Now the joy of the Lord is our strength. Sorry, I don't think you believe a word you said, sir. Either that, or you have an ironclad face and it's afraid to show any joy. Or a cow taught you how to pray. Well, I've heard cows moo more cheerfully and donkeys bray with greater joy than that sermon I heard that day as I watched that minister up on his crow's nest. No, the joy of the Lord is either our strength or the joy of the Lord is nothing. Spiritual warfare is to be coupled with two things, two elements. Obviously, the motive for spiritual warfare is salvation for the lost. That you, Mark chapter 16, that you, who's you? I'm looking at you. You're looking at me. That you set the captives free. That you loose the prisoners. That you heal the sick. That you cast out devils. That you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That you do it. I'm with the Father. I'm interceding for you. I won't slumber. I won't sleep. I will not give myself to sleep. What a commitment. I will not drink again until I drink with you. Oh, what a Lord. What a commitment. He's waiting for us. Ephesians 5:26 says he's coming for a glorious church. That means bright, shining, and apparent as the noonday sun. There's so much that we do in spiritual warfare. It's by faith, isn't it? It's by faith. I walked 7 years. 7 years in the British Isles, and I never saw any results. I had my feet knocked out from under me, knocked off a cliff. Yes, 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 there are casualties in warfare. It isn't warfare if there aren't casualties and injuries. It's peace. And we're not at peace. The Lord said, I send you forth as sheep among wolves. You ever seen wolves attack sheep? I've seen them. They're merciless. Do you know what wolves do to sheep? They go in among the flock, the herd, and they start barking like dogs and they get the sheep running. And the lambs fall back because they can't run as fast as the adults. And those wolves go along, and with their sharp, razor-sharp teeth, they clip the tendons of those little lambs, and those little lambs fall down. And they're struggling about, and they can't get up on their feet. They won't work. The tendons are gone. And then they keep going, and they slaughter as many sheep as they can doing that. They disable them that they cannot walk or run. What does the scripture say right there, Isaiah 40, verse 31? But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength, and they shall run. They'll walk, they'll run and not be weary, they'll walk and they'll not faint. And the day is coming, I want to tell you something, when we're going to mount up like wings as eagles. Warfare. I send you forth as sheep among wolves. Sheep among wolves means we are the dumbest creatures on the face of the earth when we walk within ourselves. Dumbest warriors on the face of the earth. Do you know that? In ourselves, we can do nothing. Now, the Lord said that. He said, in yourself, you can do nothing. Now, why are we trying to do something in ourselves all the time? You just make a mess of it.